God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is based off of our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, I will admit, last week we also had this as our epistle reading, but I chose not to preach on it, or I should say the section before our text, so just a little bit of a brief introduction of what's going on here in our letter. Paul extends his greetings to the people in Corinth. Paul has a prayer for the people of God, thanks God for the gifts that he has given to the people of Corinth, and Paul thanks God for the guarantee of that faith given to the Corinth believers. But after those things of thanksgiving, there was a problem. Last week's epistle lesson picked up on that problem, and that problem was they were elevating leaders within the church. And these would have been God-fearing people, Paul being one of them. And Paul basically saying to the people of Corinth, no, you don't elevate people, you elevate Christ. But that's part of our problem as human beings. You see, sometimes we want to have that spectacular leader to lead us. Well, we do. In the God-man, Jesus Christ. But now, does our faith put that trust in Christ? I will admit, it's a little hard for us as human beings, this side of eternity. And the reason why it's hard is because we have to put faith and trust in what we haven't seen. Faith and trust in other people's testimony. And that's sometimes difficult, especially when there's other human flesh and blood around us. And we might say, you know, they've got some talent. They've got their head on straight. And so naturally, we would want to follow them. This actually then carries over into our text for today. Because not only were the people of Corinth elevating human leaders, but in our text for today, there was that element of even elevating human wisdom. Now, there's nothing wrong with human wisdom. You know, fair enough, we send our kids to school, we want them to learn. We want them to use all of God's talents and abilities and to take what God has given them and go forward with it. Now, Paul is not knocking wisdom here. But when we set up man's wisdom opposed to God's wisdom, now we have a little bit of a problem. And by human nature, it's the same problem we had with the section before. Do we truly want to trust God above all things? Especially when the message of the cross, as verse 18 reminds us, is foolishness. I mean, think about it for a moment. Who would want to really believe in a God who dies? I even was following the same path. I remember in one of our trips to China, I was looking through one of those magazines. And they said, you know, here's a tourist attraction. They had this big Buddha there. And what caught my eye about that big Buddha was the big Buddha was wearing glasses. And I will admit, part of me even kind of laughed. And I said, wow, I mean, if this is supposed to be God, why would God be needing glasses? Wouldn't God be perfect? Well, I shouldn't laugh too hard because the Buddhists could say the same thing about us as Christians. Why do we worship a God who dies? Who dies on the cross? Well, we do have an answer because he dies on the cross for a reason. To atone for our sins. To pay the penalty for our sins so that we have life. But based on the wisdom of this world, that's filled with a lot of success, a lot of numbers language, a lot of building up and positive thinking, of being perfect and not showing any flaws, people might look at the cross with those lenses on and see our Savior Jesus and laugh. Why do we follow a God who dies on the cross? Yes, we've heard the message of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit has touched our lives. And in doing so, we look at the cross and we don't laugh and saying, "What a silly God." We look at the cross and saying, "There's my salvation." Now, here's the problem. Not everyone who looks to the cross, to that word of the cross, sees the same thing. Some people still laugh. And notice St. Paul picks up on that in our text. In regards to the unbelieving Jews and Gentiles, he said the Jews always wanted proof. They always wanted to demand a sign. They even said so of Jesus. "Show us a sign. Show us a miracle. Show us some proof." Now, fair enough, Jesus did many miracles. And what was his answer to the Jews who demanded a sign? None would be given except for the sign of Jonah. And where was Jesus going with that? Just as Jonah was in the belly of the large fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man will be crucified, died, and buried, and on the third day will rise again. Yes, Jesus did many signs, water into wine, raising the dead, healing the sick. He did many signs, including raising himself from the dead. But many still did not believe. You have the Gentiles who valued wisdom above all things, more of a man-centered wisdom. They would take a look at the cross and saying, "What kind of God do you worship? A God who gets sentenced to death and dies?" And in doing so, they do not believe. Now, our world doesn't quite see the same thing we do. Is it because we're any better? The answer is no. We were in the same category. What makes us different is God has touched our lives with the Holy Spirit. God is the one who has called us. And he doesn't call us to a higher thought in our mind. Instead, he calls us back to the foolishness of the cross and says, "By the way, you're sinners. You've disobeyed God. You're not perfect. You need healing. You're sick." Again, those words sound like foolishness to our world. But to people who are hurting, but to people who know that something's missing within their lives that the world cannot fill, this is where we get our hope from. This is where we get our encouragement from. This is where we get our salvation from. God's wisdom through the cross is not folly to us, but it is hope, it is life, and life eternal. And by the way, that's the way that God likes to work. In today's society, we like the shiny new things. And fair enough, you know, I'm kind of guilty of that myself as I'm kind of reading my sermon here off my iPad. Yeah, it's a shiny new gadget. Fair enough. I have that within me. But God says, wait a minute, you don't always need the shiny new. You don't need the things of this world. You don't need the great degrees of academia to believe. Just the opposite. God says, I'll work through the weak. I'll work through the small. I'll work through the insignificant. It won't necessarily always be the wise and the strong and the exalted and the respected things that God is going to work through. Consider for a moment the call of Moses when God called him by the burning bush. Moses' first reaction was, "Don't call me. I don't speak that well. Call my brother Aaron instead. He's a better speaker." God was not going to take no for an answer. He said, "No, I called you." Yeah, your brother Aaron, he's going to have a role to play in all this. But God called Moses. Needless to say, God also uses other weak things. If you've ever taught Sunday school or vacation Bible school, you know this. The teacher often learns from the students. Now, fair enough, the teacher has the lesson plans. The teacher is doing the teaching. But at the same time, if the teacher's heart and mind are in the right frame of mind, teachers can learn from those little ones. Same thing with us as parents. But yet our world might despise those lowly things. But God says, oh no, he doesn't despise any human. But he can even use humans who are considered low and insignificant in today's world as a way of teaching others who think of themselves wise. Consider again what we do here at Trinity and who we sponsor. One of the people who we sponsor is the Ministry of Voice of Care, working with developmentally disabled. Our world would love to shun these people and put them into a corner and saying they won't amount to much. Why bother with all the resources that go in to take care of them? Why minister God's word to them? Can they really hear and understand? Can they really reflect back that word of God? They can hear. And by God's grace, they can understand. They may not be able to reflect the way that you are wanting to hear, but their soul does indeed praise God. Paul speaks about that later in his epistles when he talks about prayer, that the Holy Spirit speaks in ways and in groans that humanity will not understand, but God does. Does all this make sense to an unbelieving world? The answer is no. That's why here at Trinity, we're also trying to move forward with Hispanic ministry. Some people would say, well, Pastor Bala, why are you doing that? You're investing a lot of resources into something, and you might not get a lot of payback out of it. Fair enough. But God uses the things of this world where the world rejects these people, and we say, no, God still loves them. You see, God loves all people. And yes, we have some people wiser than others. We have some people more affluent than others. We have some people who are blessed more than others. It doesn't mean that God loves them more and others less. God loves all of them. The real challenge for us is near the end of our text. Can we, as Paul says, boast in our weaknesses? Not in our strength, but in our weaknesses, so that God is glorified. You see, for the Christian, we're not ashamed that we're not perfect. For the Christian, we're not ashamed that we are weak and we need help. For the Christian, we're not ashamed that we need a God to take on human flesh and blood and redeem us because we can't do it ourselves. As Christians, we come before God and we say, we are that weak person. Yes, we've been blessed by God and we've been given many other talents. But as we come with that heart and attitude before God and says, yes, the foolishness of the cross, it doesn't make sense, but I need it. We also will help us, that same message, that same word of the cross, will help us in our relationship with other people. When we see other people who are weak, other people who are in need, other people who have been shamed and shunned by this world, does not our heart go out to them and say, Lord, how may I help? I have something they could teach me. I have something to learn because they are also God's gifts. So this day we come before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pick up this word from the cross, which may seem to be foolish and folly to a world, and we say, thank you, Lord. And we also pick up this message from the cross, not to shun and despise other people, because through that foolishness, we have forgiveness of sin. We are sinners. We do not deserve the life that Christ brings to us. And so we ask the Lord to help soften our own hearts so that we also may be bold to share Christ's love to all those in need, not just to the rich and famous, but to those who are weak. Picking up God's own words at the end of our text, so that we may boast in our own weakness, so that the glory of Christ may shine through us to other people. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we